Good to see you on this July day. If you've read or been watching the news at all, you have seen that there's tumultuous times around the world, especially in the nation of Sri Lanka. How many have seen the news reports? Yeah, it's tense times. And so I don't think it's a coincidence that my good friend, my brother, Dishan Wickramaratne, the former general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, pastor of the Great People's Church, is with us today. We've known each other for almost 40, about 40 years. We studied in Bible school together, and then you never know who God's going to connect you with. You just never know. And so God chose to put the odd couple together. And we've been fast friends ever since. We traveled and played music together, and then he, of course, went back home, and we've supported his ministry for the entirety of Sandra, my time here. And so I want to give him as much time as possible. I'm just delighted to have him come fill the pulpit today and encourage each one of you with God's word. Would you give a warm welcome to Pastor Dishan as he comes and brings the word? Get you a little stand.
Good morning. It's such a privilege to be here. I think I've been coming here since Pastor Greg was a youth pastor. I mean, I didn't know how to preach. I still don't, but it's been great and to be here. And Greg and Sandra are two of my closest friends. And also happy to have Drew and Sue here. Drew was my former roommate, so all of us kind of grew up together. And if I do any good in preaching, I steal it from these guys. God is good. Pastor Greg just gave you a brief of what's happening. I think I came here last in 2019, and then 2019 after I preached, we went back and Easter Sunday, we had the Easter Sunday bombings. It was Muslim extremism, and they bombed three churches, and we lost about 400 people. It was a terrible time. They locked us down, and you know, churches had to be searched and all kinds of stuff. Anyway, then came 2020, which the whole world experienced together. We sang in harmony, right? COVID hit, and Sri Lanka didn't do too bad. We had many COVID cases, but only 14 people died in the whole nation. And then in 2021, the Delta variant hit. And as you know, India and Sri Lanka, and we got hit badly. In 3 months, we had 14 people die in 2020, 2021. In about 3 months, we had 14,000 people die. And our church had over 40 funerals. Some of them were not real funerals. You couldn't even have the funeral properly, but so things went on, but God at that time made the church to come alive. So we had a shut down church, but we could open our church into kitchens. So all our buildings, we made them kitchens, and we began to feed people cooked food, you know. Unlike in America, you could give a sandwich for lunch. We had to cook rice and three different curries, you know, and pack it in. And we fed almost 300,000 meals. And it was great because we had, you know, every time I come here, I tell you a persecuted story and how that has always gone on, you know. But now here we are. They're looking forward to us because the church is doing something. And we went through that. And then this latest thing happened mainly in the month of April, but before that, we had a big loss of foreign currency, and there were no dollars in the country, so we couldn't buy diesel, petrol, gas for cooking, and we have lines 2 miles long. People stay 2-3 days in the line to get a bit of gas, petrol. So this has been going on now for 4 or 5 months, and the government has been corrupt, and they made a big protest. Protest started in April. They got the government to stand down, but the president would not leave. And it became a big issue, went on and on. And while I was here, that is yesterday, they had a big push. Almost the nation rose up and said, you know, president's got to go home. So they came out in I don't know how many, probably a million people, and surrounded his place and all that. And, you know, they're trying to clean up and do things, which still we need your prayer, because this transition is very unsure. We don't know what's happening. But the good thing I want to tell you is, as everything crashed, you know, we went overnight from our Sri Lankan rupee, which is about 200 rupees. Overnight it went to 300 rupees and 360. And the value of money became useless, but the church came alive. So people were dying in these queues I was talking about. So the church began to do queue packs and give water and biscuits and thing and show the love of God. We didn't put our name, we put a logo, and we said, don't lose hope. And we did 50,000 of those, and now we're doing the second 50,000. And it's amazing to see that the church that was rejected all this time is now talked about as the only ones doing something. You know, sometimes you ask God for opportunities. You want people saved. You want God to do something. You may not like the way it comes, but God is doing some marvelous things. It's the greatest harvest we've ever seen. On Mother's Day, we had no petrol or gas, and we said, okay, let's bring mothers in. So anyway, with mothers and other family members, they brought in about 400 new people on a Sunday. 300 got saved. You see, and we were so thankful to God that, you know, that God was moving in a way we didn't think of. We've had big crusades. We haven't so many saved in a day, you know. And then on Father's Day, you know, fathers are the tough ones to move. You know that, right? I am one, I know. So we had no diesel at all. So we got buses that had diesel, paid 2-3 times the price. And we had 1,000 new people on Sunday. And 800 of them got saved. So, you know, God is doing some marvelous things. And I kind of want to share with you, coming from, I mean, in the middle of a crisis, actually, to talk to you about a God who is not surprised by anything that's happening to us. You know, God during COVID wasn't wringing his hands and, oh, my goodness, COVID has come. Now what do we do? No, God always knows. His word is clear. You know, Sean was talking about God's word and how prophecy and end times is coming together. Yes, because his word never fails. Amen? Father, speak to us from your word. Let Dishan decrease. Let the Holy Spirit increase. Let your will be done. Lord, we thank you for this time, and I pray, Lord, that we won't be just listeners, but you will change all of us according to your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. You know, a lot of things are changing in our world. And, you know, one of the key issues is that we have a big fear of change, because nobody likes change, right? And, you know, we have so many phobias and so many things. But the fear of change is so real at this time. You know, we have good changes that happen and we get happy, but then we have changes where you lose a loved one. Or COVID comes and suddenly everything has to be adjusted or changed and we're not sure what to do. And, you know, there are many changes in our lives that we actually don't like. And we resent them, we resist them. So today I just want to talk to you about, in this changing world, right, what are the changes that are causing anxiety? And you know, making us stressful in our life, right? Very quickly, let me tell you three things. Everything is speeding up. If you look at our life, everything is speeding up, right? Everything is much faster. The pace of life is speeding up. Technology has done this to us, right? Because of technology, they call it progress. In general, it always causes things to go faster. I think technology has moved everything to go faster except probably the death process. Because now they can keep you alive longer than before. At least on a machine. Not in all cases. I remember when the bullet trains came out in Japan and they were going at 150 to 175 miles an hour. The Japanese thought, wow, great. Now we can hit the countryside and we can see everything much faster. then they got in a train and they realized everything at that speed was blurry. You know, you couldn't take anything in. You know, sometimes it's a bit like our life. When the pace of life becomes so fast, we can't focus. It becomes blurry. We're going from one thing to another. In the old days, they call it rat race. Now they don't know what race to call it because it's so fast. So many changes. The second thing is every decision today is getting complicated. Have you noticed that? Every simple decision in our lives today is complicated. Again, I believe because technology has connected our whole world. It's not just Cupertino anymore. Or it's not just the Bay Area. It's the world. Right? Everything is connected and interconnected. Everything has got smaller. In fact, when the Asian stock markets crash, Wall Street gets a hiccup. Right? When the Taliban does its new phase of attack, by dinner time, here in America, you're talking about it. It's a different world. Our whole world is interconnected. And another thing that has, you know, made everything speed up is one thing is we have too many choices. So many choices. You come to America, you go nuts. Do you know that you guys go to a normal store, you have 50 kinds of shampoo? And still you have people saying, I don't have my kind here. The third thing that brings changes and brings stress is every value is being challenged today. Every value is being challenged. Today, right is being called wrong. Wrong is being called right. Right? And there are people today who don't even believe that there is such a thing as right or wrong. You know, whenever I hear somebody say, you know, there are no absolutes, I want to say, are you absolutely sure? Because even that's an absolute. You see, and I don't know, this politically correct thing drives me nuts. Sometimes I don't, you know, it doesn't make sense. Everything, our values are all being judged. So when things go faster, when things are speeding up, and we live in this type of age where our values are challenged, our world becomes very fickle. So I just want to quickly share three things with you that will never change in this ever-changing world. If you grasp onto this from God's word, I tell you, God will see you through. Right? Three things that will never change in an ever-changing world. Get this, it's simple, it's things you know. I'm just going to remind you. The first thing is that God's love for you never changes. God's love for you never changes. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. I am the Lord, I do not change. You know, why does God not change? Why doesn't God change? Yeah, I'll tell you why God doesn't change. It's because God is perfect. And when God is perfect, God can't get any better. He can't get any worse either. You see, that's why he doesn't change. He's the same. He's not learning something new down the road and he's not getting something, you know, where he didn't know before. So he does not change. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. That's unchanging. That's everlasting. You see, you and I were created as an object of God's love. Please listen to me. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know God knows you. God knows everything about you. God knew you before COVID. He knows you. He knew you during COVID. He knows you after. He knows what has happened. He knows what's coming ahead. And he loves you. And he created you so that he can love you. Amen? You see, God doesn't get moody. You see, God never has a bad hair day. God doesn't get up from the wrong side of the bed. God is consistent. God loves you, unchanging and everlasting, it says. This is such good news. You know why? Because while God is so consistent, me as a human, I'm so inconsistent. But God is consistent. The Bible teaches me that God loves me just as much on my good days as he loves me on my bad days. God loves me when I feel close to him and I feel that I'm doing everything right as much as when I'm not so close to Him and not doing everything right. You see, God never changes. God's love is not based on my performance. God's love is based on His character. You know, sometimes we are discouraged and we are down because we think that we didn't measure up, that we didn't do this, we didn't do that. That does not change God. That does not change God's love for you. Amen? God loves you the same way. You know, human love is fickle. You know, we love and then we don't. We are hot and then we are cold, right? And I run into people that say, oh, my husband is not the man I married. Well, so aren't you. Right? Because we are all like that. We have inconsistencies. Oh, my girlfriend likes me one day and the next day she doesn't. My dad is so inconsistent. You know, and that's because human love is fickle and conditional. The truth is that some days, I'll tell you what, I don't want to love anybody. Yes, me, Pastor Dishan. Some days I'm grumpy. Some days I'm grouchy. You know, some days I want to say the most hurtful things to the people I love the most. Why do I do that? Because I'm a human being. Because my life is inconsistent. Listen to God's word. On the other hand, while we are inconsistent, God is consistent. Can you say amen? God never changes. God loves us. Isaiah 44:10 says, for the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then, my faithful love for you will remain. I think we should all read that. Can you look at the screen and let's read it together? It never changes. Never. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't change. In this fickle world, you got to know that your God loves you and He loves you and He keeps on loving you. It does not change. God is never going to stop loving you. Amen? Let's read another one together. Romans 8:38. You know this. Romans 8:38. Okay, let's read it. When you read it, it sinks in a bit better. Ready? Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For the mountains. Oh, wait, sorry. Kalamagai. Okay, let's read it again. I thought I'm doing it in Sinhalese, but it's English. Okay, Romans 8:38. Ready? And I am convinced. See, there is one thing you can never do. You can never stop God from loving you. I want to tell you, God loves you. A lot of people wonder why tomorrow I leave for back to Sri Lanka when all this turmoil is going. Because I'll tell you, it doesn't matter where in the world I am, my God is the same. He's consistent. He loves me so that I can do what He wants me to do. He loves you. He loves you the way you are. Close your eyes for a moment. Just close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just think about the fact that God has never stopped loving you. He will never stop loving you. He loves you. He loves you. You know, He loves you so much that everything in His word is true. I'm going to do this very quickly. I know I don't have much time. But if you are here and you need a touch from God, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it may be, material, I want you to raise your hand and say, I know God loves me, but I need a touch from Him. You know what? Stand to your feet. Just stand. Stand where you are. Okay, we're going to pray right now. Because you know why? Jesus loves me. Amen? Amen? Every year I come here, I do this. We're going to do it this year also. Close your eyes. Raise your hands. And let's say it together. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Take your left hand, put it on your heart. Raise your right hand to heaven. Now those sitting around these, if you are close, why don't you just stand up and put your hand on their shoulder, just as an encouragement, right? We are going to pray. Listen, we are going to pray because God loves you and God cares for you. And I'll tell you, as we pray, the Lord hears our prayer. Listen to me. As we pray, healing virtue flows into your body. As we pray, that burden that you are carrying is going to be lifted. You know, we don't pray to the air. We don't pray to some wind or some force. No, we pray to God Almighty. And He is here to touch and heal you. Some of you say, I've done this for a long time. I want to tell you, today we do it in faith because He loves us. You know, we don't perform for Him to move and for Him to perform. No, we love Him because He loves us. Because He loves us, He heals us. He loves us, He takes your burden. Okay, right now, let's pray together, everybody. Let's pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Father, right now, you see all these who are standing, all who need a touch from you. I pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. First, I pray for those who need healing. Lord, healing in their body, I pray from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. In the name of Jesus, that healing virtue will flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch and heal right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for financial, family, hurtful things, all those burdens that are piling up on shoulders. I pray in Jesus' name that we lay it at your feet. Now lay it at the feet of God. Don't carry that burden anymore in Jesus' name. Don't carry it. Give it to God. Give it and say, Lord, you love me. I know you love me. I have failed, but you never fail. I give it to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give these burdens. Lord, you're the one who heals broken hearts. You're the one who carries away burdens. You're the ones who opens the windows of heaven and sends the finances. You're the one who does what is needed. We give it to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, today, before next Sunday, I pray for signs and wonders to have happened because of who you are. Hallelujah. Let's raise both our hands to heaven. And say, Lord, thank you for hearing our prayer. Come on, thank him, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for healing virtue. Thank you because you love me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Can you say that? Yes, Jesus loves me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, God's love for us never changes. Very quickly, number two, God's word never changes. God's word never changes. You know, I'm talking about the word of God given to us, the laws, the commands, the principles, the rules in God's word. Isaiah 40 verse 8. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." How many can say amen? It's timeless. It's enduring. It's eternal. Right? It never withers. It's fresh. It doesn't get stale. God's word is never out of date. Our human ideas go out of date. They tell me that it takes 4 years to write a science textbook. But they say in the fourth year when it goes for print, they have to re-edit it because science has changed. Because man's ideas change. But God's word never changes. Amen? Amen? You know, that's why he gave you the word. Please listen to me. Today, one of the signs of the end, if you look at Matthew 24 and 25, one of the main signs is deception. And deception is found mainly in the church. It's found in people who know the word. In a small country like mine, where not even 2% are born again, we have deception. Because the devil comes looking for the people who know the word. Please listen to me. God's word to you has never changed. You see, deception is not that, you know, God's word is going left and deception is going right. No, it goes very close to the truth. And if you don't know the truth, in this time, you will be deceived. You will be fighting things that you should not even care about. In the name of Jesus, you'll be doing it. You see, deception is ruining the church. That's devil's way of bringing the church down. So you need to know the word. Don't major on the minors. Look at the word. Look at what God is saying. I want to tell you, my friend, this book that God gave us was written over 1,600-year period. It took 1,600 years, 40 authors, written in three continents, written by different people. Why? Because they brought the word of God that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And they gave it to us in something called, started with the Old Testament. Do you know that they all wrote this in different places? 40 authors, different, but it was one uniform thing coming together. You know, the Old Testament came about 1,000 years after all these authors had already died. How does that happen? It only happens because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought it together. Same story collected in one book. Oh boy. And people are now trying to say, this part is not right, that part is not right, this is not great. I want to tell you, if somebody steals God's word and makes it nullified in your life and says it's not the measure, you will be messed up because you won't have a measure. You see, God's word is the measure. If one thing is one person wrote the book and there was uniformity, here 40 people write it and there is uniformity. You see, this book was written by poets and prophets, princes and kings, by shepherds and soldiers. You know, it was written by different people, by an attorney, by a medical doctor. It was written by prisoners, by fishermen, in all kinds of places. It was written in caves. It was written in homes. It was written on ships. It was written in prison. It was written in palaces. It was written all over the place. And they all came up with one theme. The theme of the redemption of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? From cover to cover, over 1,600 years. I'm saying this because even in a small country like ours that is non-Christian, the devil is using deception. And if you don't get into the word, you don't hold on to the word, you're going to get messed up. You know, even, I'll give this quickly. The Old Testament scribes, they said when they were copying the Bible, they say, oh, it was originally good, now it is not. You know, they copied it systematically. They copied it in columns and they ran it this way and that way. And they said that, for instance, while transcribing it, if they had the letter A, this is just an example, and in one book there were 1,000 A's, at the end of their translation, if there was 1,001 A's, they threw that and started again. They didn't have photocopies, right? So they did it like that. And, you know, I'm telling you this because people try to nullify the word of God from you. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. It abides forever. Friend, I want to tell you the word of God, this book has been more criticized, more judged, more blasphemed and ridiculed and banned and even burned than any other book you've ever heard of. But it still is the same as it was 2,000 years ago. God's word is so important. You know, the same way God has established certain physical laws of the universe, like the word. You know, in physics and chemistry, and you study the sciences and how they operate, it'll tell you that, you know, if you jump off a tall building, you're going to go down. That's the kind of science I know. If you mix certain chemicals and put it in your eye, you go blind. Am I right? Anytime you ignore God's physical laws, for instance, if you drive like a madman like Pastor Greg, and you're going at 100 miles an hour and you drive into a wall, guess what happens? You don't break the law. the law breaks you. You see, if I jump off a 100-story building, I am not breaking the law of gravity. The law of gravity is going to break me. Are you with me? Right? So the same way God has established moral and spiritual laws in His Word for this universe. You know, it's not a case of, oh, in your church, these are the rules and this is... No, God's Word does it for me, does it for you. Right? And when we ignore the moral and spiritual laws in God's words, we don't break them. They break us. Got very quiet. Are you with me? Therefore, our benefits. For instance, you know, we wouldn't have some of the social ills that we have if we followed God's word. You know, for instance, let's take the STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. If we followed God's law, right, which one is no sex outside of marriage, right, we wouldn't have those things. Right, but then look at the other side of it, not just medically or disease on body. What about all the marriage breakups, the kids suffering because of that? And then today I'm dealing with people who are 12 years old and trying to commit suicide in their family because of sex outside of marriage. I'm just giving an example. What I'm trying to say is, if I speak like this normally anywhere else other than maybe even in the church, oh, he's old-fashioned. He's lost it. He doesn't understand. You know, today times have changed. I want to tell you, God didn't write His word for this season a different word and for that season a different word. God's word never changes. Whether it be premarital sex, adultery, pornography, murder, lying, sin is sin. You see, it is not your church abundant life's code of ethics. It is the word of God that condemns sin. At People's Church, my church in Sri Lanka, we love sinners because none of us have it all together. We are all sinners, right? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you see, we don't condone sin. I'm telling you, love the person who sins, because you and I know we need to be loved. We are sinners too. But that doesn't mean you compromise on the sin. You see, God's word never changes. And we are seeing a lot of that today to include. You see, we say that is old-fashioned. It's outdated. You know, I want to tell you again, heaven and earth may pass away, but my words will not pass away. Hold on to God's word. Don't compromise. If you fall, get up and walk again. Because God has a plan for you. That's my final point. Boy, when I said final, three of you woke up. You don't know me. I said this many times. You know, when I say I'm closing, don't get too excited. Because I close about 8 times. God's love for you never changes. You can't do anything to stop God from loving you. God's word is still the same. The final one I want to leave with you is God's purpose for you. Individually, you never changes. God's purpose for your life will never change. You see, long before you were born, God planned you. God planned you. God has a plan, and that plan never changed. He created you for His purpose. Some of you get mad at God. I'm mad at God because God didn't do this or God didn't do that. And I mean, who the heck are we to get mad at God? We don't even know by tonight whether we'll be alive or dead or where we'll be. You see, I didn't create God for me. God created me for Him. You see, and God wants you and me to realize that there is only you, one, and only me, one, who are created for His purpose. If you're alive today, I want to tell you, God has a plan. He has a purpose. It hasn't changed. Psalm 33:11 says, but the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. Amen? Regardless of what has happened in your life to this point, regardless of all the mistakes you made, the wrongs, regardless of where you've been, I don't know what it has happened. God says that no, His plans for you will not change. Proverbs 19:21. You can make plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail in your life. It doesn't change. Even those dumb, stupid things we have done I have made in the past, God still has a plan for me. Listen to me. God has no plan B for you. God has no plan B. But you're saying, but Pastor, what about my divorce? Well, what about your divorce? So you got divorced. Okay, who's right, who's wrong? Okay, doesn't matter. God doesn't say, okay, because you live this perfect life, I'm going to use you. No. Some of you are saying, oh, what about my abortion? I can't ever serve God the way I used to, because, hey, what about your abortion? Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that all these bad things are good. I'm just saying they happen in your life and mine. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He went to the cross because there were things in our life that only He can take care of. So what about it? There is no plan B. Still, God has plan A. You see, He created you for a purpose. He has a plan for you. He has something He wants to do only through you. There was nobody like you before you. There'll be nobody like you after you. There's only one of you. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. You see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. God will never stop loving you. God's word will never change. You know, people may try to make it unreasonable, obsolete, this, that, but God says, no, 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 no. You are my plan. You know, in our church, we spend 2 hours worship practice every week. But because we have 3 languages, we do it twice a week. 1 language on Wednesday, 1 on Friday, 2 on Friday. We practice worship. Do you know that that's just a dress rehearsal? When we get up to heaven, the worship is going to be phenomenal. You can't even compare. Then we have another hour and a half of teaching. School for Christian Growth. We grow and it's discipleship and that. And then we have another hour of fellowship and getting. We have all this. It's mandated in our church. We mandate our people to do the worship practice, to do the discipleship, to do the fellowship. We mandate it. But you know, all those things we mandate, when we get to heaven, it's going to be glorious. Much better than what we do here. There's one thing we will never do up in heaven. And that is tell somebody or introduce somebody to Jesus. You see, because everybody in heaven already knows Him. And have you noticed that that's the one thing that we don't mandate? We don't mandate but sharing what God has done in your life. Mandate it with somebody else. Because if we don't do it here, we will never do it anywhere else. You see, that's why God has a plan and purpose for each one. It's not about a ministry in the church. It's about touching lives that are in our world. Wherever you are, wherever I am. You see, God wants us to be God's hand extended. I want to tell you, sometimes I am too young. I want to tell you, the world has been taken over by young people. 12 to 18 are the prime terrorist age being used to take on nations. And we are saying they're too young. Don't mess with them. Or somebody says, I'm too old. You know, I'm in retirement. I got to enjoy. I got to do this. Okay, do that. Fine. You don't have to work on a regular job. But you can never stop being God's man or God's woman wherever you go. You see, wherever you go, even if you go on vacation, God is taking you to meet somebody. This is a temporal world, my friend. I don't care how you cut it. Yes, I'm going back to Sri Lanka. It's much worse in the natural. But it's the right place because God wants me there. God keeps you because He wants you here. But you see, God wants you to know that His purpose for you will never be taken away. His purpose of you will never change. You are God's man. I say this every time. God doesn't anoint buildings. He doesn't anoint pulpits. He doesn't anoint iPads. He doesn't anoint musical instruments or cameras. God only anoints men and women. You are God's man. You are God's woman. And God has a plan for you. And God wants to use you. Would you make a commitment today and say, Lord, I know Your love doesn't change. I know Your word doesn't change. And I also know there's no plan B for me. Your plan A is that through all the problems I've been through, things I face, you still have a purpose in using me. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask Pastor Greg to come. But before he comes, I would like you to just close your eyes for a moment. And would you make just say a three-word prayer. A prayer of commitment. It's a daring prayer. It's a prayer that says three words. Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. Not my pastor, not the church, not so and so. Use me. Time is drawing. You know, Sean was saying that from after worship, and I'm saying it again to you. You know, when I'm in Sri Lanka, you know that when I look at what's going on, I think Jesus is coming by next week. When I come to America, I think, okay, maybe a little longer. But what I'm trying to say, it doesn't matter how you cut it. You see, can you say, Jesus, use me? Bow your heads, close your eyes.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us by your Spirit, Lord. Speak to us by your Spirit. I'd like you to open your ears to the Holy Spirit's voice. But I feel the Spirit is saying something to us. As I listened to the word, I was thinking of you, thinking of myself, and the application. And I felt the Lord say there are four types of people here today. Four types. There are those who are broken. And they truly don't know if the Lord can use you. Maybe you're not even saved, but there's brokenness. And you're saying, I'm just not usable. I'm not usable. I've done too many things. I failed too many times. I'm a disappointment. And God he's passed me by. What you heard today is true. His love for you is no different today than it was before you struggled. That's the first person. You're broken. And you're not sure God can use you. There's others that have been searching for God's purpose. We just studied the spiritual gifts a couple of months ago, and you're wondering, yes, God, I want to be used, but I don't know how. I don't know how. The first step in knowing how is that it's believing that God will use you. And when you believe God will use you, you'll step wherever you're needed. You'll take the small steps and let God take care of the long journey. But there are some of you that you're thinking, I just don't know how. Help me, Lord. There's a third group that you've kind of grasped God's plan for your life, but you're struggling with the vision. Where God? When God? Vision and direction. Maybe some of you are battling with that right now. Lord, I think I know what you want me to do, but when? But how? What does it look like? And there's a third group of people that you've been used, but now you're tired. You're just tired. God, I've been serving you for a long time, and I'm tired. Let somebody else do it for a while. Can I just say that all of those groups of people, God wants to rejuvenate today. Whether you're broken, you can be healed. Whether you're unsure, God can give you that confidence. Whether you are looking for vision, He has the vision because He knows your tomorrow. And if you're tired, He has the ability to mount you up on wings of eagles and cause you to run again. God's love, God's word, and God's purpose. They are real and secure today. So as we go into our time of lingering, we're going to spend that time, and we're going to do our prayer time just slightly different. Have a couple of the elders will take a seat. Looks like the open seats are to my left and in the center. And if you have a particular need and you want someone to pray with you, just come and find one of them in the front seat. I'll be on this side. There'll be one in the middle, one on the side. And elders, just take it upon yourself to come. For the rest, I'd like you to just, there's nothing that replaces God's speaking to your life. I've walked with Jesus for 45 years. And sometimes I crave someone to tell me what to do. Some person to tell me what to do. Some person. And you know, I found that those are helpful sometimes. But the most rich and most powerful changes that have happened in my life was when I sought God and God spoke to me directly. And God will talk to you. So that's why we've been lingering so often these last, you know, 6-7 months in 2022. So spend some time to stay. Kneel if you want to kneel. Pace if you want to pace. Get quiet somewhere the steps are free to pray at. But find a place. And I know if you're broken, if you're searching, if you're looking for His vision and power, or if you're just tired, God will meet you today. He will meet you. So if you, as Pastor Sean begins to play some music, if you want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, sit. If you want to kneel, kneel. If you want to come to a different place, do that. But we're going to turn this into a house of prayer. And just open your mind, open your ears to hear His voice. If for whatever reason you have to go, don't feel badly about excusing yourself. I only ask that if we want to have conversation, it's a beautiful day outside. Enjoy the patio and have your conversation there. I'm going to pray one more time and then we're going to pray. Then you're going to let you be free to pray and seek God in Jesus' name. Help us to hear Your word today. It was true. You love us. Your word will never fail. And Your purpose is for us. Help us today, God, to free ourselves from all distractions. Throw off everything that easily entangles. To seek Your face today. Praise You, Lord. Let's take the posture that You want to take and let's pray. Elders, if you take a spot in some of the chairs. As they're coming, I'd forgotten one thing. Pastor Deshaun's father has a biography that is in the foyer. Those are free for you to take. There's only about 20 of them. So we can get more if we need. So we don't need to wrestle over them. But I just want to let you know they're there, as well as a couple of the books, okay? All right, let's pray.
You're the way, the truth, and the life. You're the well that never runs dry. I'm the branch and you are the vine. Draw me close, teach me to abide. Be my strength, my song in the night. Be my own, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to abide. I depend on you. 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 I depend. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Teach me to abide.
Hallelujah, Lord God, I pray, Father. That, Lord, we would fiercely guard our time with you. Lord, that you would teach us to abide and be reminded that you never change. Your love remains the same. Who we are in you, your desires in us will never change. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us to abide. May you be glorified in this day. May we go out and be your witness. In Jesus' name, amen.
I depend on you. 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 I depend.